do was to make sure that we could find new ways to extend life and touring opportunities. We tend to do 2 to 3 productions a year. And I said, you know, let's try to aim to have 1 or 2 of those pieces that are tourable in some capacity. So when folks at Lac-Brome reached out to us, it was, you know, we were already in the same mindset.
And we closed the show with composer Wiley Ferguson, who showcased his new composition with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra this spring. Ferguson's 6-minute piece is titled Broken Earth, and VSO played his composition on May 30th. The 30-year-old composer from British Columbia is very pleased about how it turned out. He describes the composition as monster music. All this because Ferguson applied last September to the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra's composition mentorship program. He was accepted and began the 7-month program last October. Here's some of Ferguson's Broken Earth composition and his reflections on the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra membership program in this interview with Craig Osoba.
Wiley Ferguson applied last year to the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra's composition mentorship program, was accepted, and began writing a piece that would debut with the VSO at the end of May this year. Ferguson is based in Nanaimo, where he teaches music and guitar. His parents live on Cortez Island. He's influenced by many modern-day composers, both in the classical and jazz genres, including Bertolt Brecht and Frank Zappa. What makes him unique is that he has his foot in a wide range of musical styles, all the way from death metal and jazz to contemporary classical music. The VSO played his composition, Broken Earth, at the end of May, and he's very pleased with how it all went and what he has learned during the process.
It went just as good or better than I expected it to. I feel like I put in a lot of work into the piece that I wrote, and yeah, they played great. I got a lot of good feedback, and it was a good learning experience, and yeah, I feel very happy with the results for sure.
All right. Now, you just said you had learned a lot from this whole experience. It began last fall when, for lack of a better description, I think, Wiley, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like an apprenticeship in composition with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. What did you feel like you learned since last fall and then from when the piece debuted at the end of May?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was like the format that they had going is basically a mentorship program. So we had master classes. I did them over Zoom, but some people are all in Vancouver. So they had a couple composers come in and talk about their approach to writing for orchestra, and a couple of the players, the symphony players, talked to us about just do's and don'ts about formatting parts and writing within the means of this performance. Maybe with a piece that has lots of rehearsal time, you can get away with a little bit more, but these are some of the best players that you're ever going to find in general. Some of the other pieces I felt were pretty ambitious, and they pulled it off pretty well. So I think that I was worrying in my previous experience with composing. I've had times where I write something that's maybe a little ambitious, and it doesn't come off the way that you want it to, just because it's difficult. You're not always going to be able to just nail those difficult passages right away. So it takes time and patience to rehearse those parts. But anyway, so that being said, like they talked about what you can write and the level of professionalism of the orchestra and how to talk to the orchestra and how all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Just describe what it felt like when you're sitting there and you're hearing your piece, which you've been hearing in your mind, of course, all this time during the composition process, but to hear it full on with an orchestra being played, what did it feel like?
At first, kind of stressful, to be honest. The first run through, they just go for it. The first run through, and then you have some time to adjust some things, and then another run through the piece, and that's pretty much it. So I would say the feeling of the first run through, I was just still a little nervous to hear how it was. Is my balance going to be okay between the different parts? Is everything going to come out okay? Was there anything that's too fast? But then the second run through, I just put the score away and just listened and enjoyed myself, because I don't think that opportunity happens too often. So I just was trying to slow down a bit and just enjoy it. But I would say, like, it's really, I don't know, gratifying, satisfying to hear something that I've put so much time and work into, and it's something that I've been wanting to do since I was a teenager. I think that just the whole experience, I was just excited to be able to be there.
Sounds like a dream come true.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is. I've been thinking about that moment, hearing you for a while. I've been thinking about that for a lot of years.
Thanks again so much, Wiley, and congratulations on this tremendous accomplishment with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, thanks a lot for saying that. I'm flattered, but I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and everything.
And that's it for us at Viewpoints. Our reporters this week, Craig Osoba, Andrew Dow, Erica Butler, Taylor McClure, Ryan Gillespie-Wilson, Owen Thompson, and James Mingy. National editors Victoria Fenner and Maureen McEwen. Viewpoints is produced by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. I'm your host and producer, Boris Chassaigne. Thanks for keeping us company. Until next week, ciao.
Vivian, and we are CDSF 90.1 FM, and today I have a special guest here from our neighbor Embark. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Desiree, and I'm the programs manager at Embark. I basically try to ensure that anyone who is involved with Embark feels welcome and well-equipped to do anything Embark-related. So I manage volunteers, I coordinate some student staff, work very closely with the other full-time staff. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Embark is such a cool organization. Do you want to tell me more about it?
Yeah, for sure. So our full name is Embark Sustainability Society, so that kind of gives a hint of what we do. We are a nonprofit independent student society that basically just tries to get students involved in climate equity and food justice. So that can look so different for all students. So we try to make opportunities available for them to do anything hands-on if they're interested in that, or just create learning opportunities, such as events for students who are maybe just taking their first steps into that journey, so that it's more accessible for them. And yeah, lots of different ways to learn about the topics that we have to offer.
And what are you doing here on campus, or what did you do in the past?
So we have a lot of things that we do on campus. For example, something that's always ongoing every semester is food rescue. So at its core, it's a kind of initiative to try and decrease food insecurity on campus, but also increase awareness of what food justice is. So we have lots of hands-on opportunities like that. We have community kitchens that are also ongoing. Lots of program that happens regularly. We're trying to develop some more climate equity events. We have one like today.
February 8th.
Yeah.
What time?
The event is called Rights of Nature Collage Making. It's at 1 p.m. It's an initiative that is hosted by one of our coordinators who runs the climate equity team with a bunch of volunteers who are super helpful and super passionate, which is another example of things that we do. We allow our students to kind of get hands-on experience in planning events and different programs for the community to like attend.
Mm-hmm. So what can you do as a student at Embark, or what can you do when you volunteer as a student?
Yeah, for sure. So we are student-centered and student-run. Without the students, we would be absolutely nothing, of course. So the students help us with creating events. So I mentioned our climate equity team. Yeah. We also have a food justice team who runs the community kitchens and also hosted a large event last semester, which was amazing, and kind of just like looked at what they were interested in at the time, which was food security initiatives across the Lower Mainland and how we can kind of support those initiatives as students, or if we need to access those resources, like how can we do that as students as well. Other initiatives are run by our digital engagement team as well. So we have some blog writers, we have a student who posts reels on Instagram and creates infographics, basically based off of like what they're interested in within climate equity and food justice. So yeah, there's a lot of ways for you to kind of learn about the different specific topics within food justice and climate equity and apply it in ways that make sense for you. So yeah, again, we have like regular programming, we run events, and there's also that digital component as well for anyone who is interested in like writing or like not really engaging with people. There's different avenues. We also have leadership opportunities, which we'll get into, I guess, when we talk about the AGM. But for folks who are ready to take on the role, we have a lot of positions. Every year we have positions for our board. So they help govern us. They help us decide which laws we should put in place or bylaws we should put in place. And just, you know, we try to implement a lot of our values through the help of our board into our programming and everything, all of our initiatives at Embark.
And going back to events that you're hosting, I can highly recommend the community kitchen because I attended last month and it was so much fun. We cooked repas and yeah, it was so much fun and was for the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And I can highly recommend going to this monthly event. I think it's going to be at the end of February.
Yes.
Right. And it's going to be a African theme, I heard. So I'm very excited for that. And to talking about more events, what are you planning for 2023?
Yeah, for sure. So in 2023, we have some amazing opportunities happening through our gardens. So we are actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary. So keep an eye out for May because that'll be a huge month with our regular programming and with the events that we're hosting. We're hoping to build them and design them more holistically in order to really accentuate our values and really like manifest those values into programming so that students can learn and become more involved in what already exists, but in like more of an elevated way. So like our values, for example, we are really trying to develop more justice, equity, diversity, decolonization, and inclusion within our events. So looking at different topics that we might not have explored before, or again, just elevating what we have explored in the past.
And why do you think is Embark so important for the SFU campus here?
Yeah, I think we really pride ourselves in providing so many diverse opportunities for students to get involved. So just the fact that we exist and we want to meet you where you're at is really important, or is what I think is what we have to offer for the SFU community. We try to build partnerships that are long-lasting so that we can involve folks who might not regularly think about climate equity or food justice, for example, with community kitchens, with events that we host, so that we can bring sustainability to a larger audience.
Yeah, thank you for your work here. As I already said, it's so much fun to join and attend your events. So if you're interested, you can always check their Instagram or their website. I will all link it in our archives, cjsf.ca. And why do you think, or what benefits do students get from Embark here on campus?
I think just the fact that we put in so much effort to create an environment that is really like open. So wherever you're at, we will try to include you as much as possible. So for example, if you're taking your first steps within your sustainability journey, we want to be there to help nourish those first steps and show you the amount of options that exist. And then if you are more seasoned, you have more experience, we want to be able to give you that experience as well that you need. We have some hired positions, we have leader positions in the board, as I mentioned before, and we will always try our best to provide some professional development, especially in the context of a nonprofit, which I think is kind of unique for our standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And hosting such events and being there for the students takes a lot of time and lots of planning. And for that, you're going to have or host a annual meeting, right? Do you mm-hmm. want to tell me more about the annual general meeting that is going to happen this February?
So our AGM is happening on February 16th. At 5:30. That event is really great if you're curious about what we've done in the past year, if you're curious about like ways you can get involved, because we're going to be showing off everything that we have to offer. We'll be talking about the ways that we use the funding that comes directly from students, since everyone pays a small fee for us to exist, and how you can get involved after that. So I think the AGM is really important for students to learn about who we are and get excited about what's to come. But also it's super important for anyone who already is involved in Embark and anyone who's interested in becoming involved with Embark to kind of make decisions with us. So we'll be voting in our new board, mm-hmm. Which is super important because we want the student population to be able to vote in that board and help us decide who will be leading us. Someone that represents their values, someone that represents their backgrounds and their interests, because a board will dictate what we do and dictate kind of like what we will put our funding towards. Mm-hmm. So it's important because I think if every student is paying for Embark to exist, they might as well be involved with that process and be active in the voting process. So,
Definitely. I mean, you can represent your own voice and your own needs and values. Mm-hmm. And if you have anything you want to achieve with Embark together, you can definitely do that by joining them or attend some meetings happening February 16th next week also, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will all link the information again on our archives, cdrsf.ca, or check out the Instagram or the Embark website. So why do you think is the annual general meeting so important for SFU or Embark?
Yeah, I think that the AGM is important to just realize what it is that we're doing. I think also Embark sometimes isn't recognized in mm-hmm. different initiatives. Mm-hmm. So, we do a lot. And I think maybe some students might be involved in one area, but not involved in another area. So maybe if you go to community kitchens or you're a frequent attendee of Food Rescue, you might be interested in what else we have to offer. So you'll hear about all of those other opportunities to get involved, different types of events that we'll be hosting. I just get excited about that. Mm-hmm. I think also, I've mentioned this before, but definitely voting in the board and hearing from the applicants mm-hmm. about like why they want to join the board. It might make you excited as well to become involved more holistically in Embark programming and initiatives. So yeah, just like learning about who runs the show. I think all of our staff will be present as well. So you'll be able to take questions mm-hmm. And also like learn about us and get to know us if you haven't already. So yeah. I think it'll be a good time.
Yeah, definitely. And is it going to happen in person or online?
It is online, mm-hmm. yes, for good. Sure. I think online gives us more accessibility It's just like easier to do things.
Yeah, and you can always join in for free and mm-hmm. Take a look. So do you have any last comment, or if you have anything you want to add, you can do that now?
Yeah, I guess I would love to see more students involved. I've mentioned this over and over again, but we have something for everyone. And if something that does not exist that you want to be implemented, we are open to hearing it. We are always looking to develop things with students in mind because, we are an independent society that relies on students and we depend on students and we serve students. Mm-hmm. Everything is all about the students. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to take a look. And I mean, taking a look on your environment and how you can make your environment a better place and how to save and rescue mm-hmm. food, for example, is mm-hmm. a good start into the right direction. So yeah, please check them out. They're really, really great people there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, thank you so much for this interview here today.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye.